Do you have repair projects that you've been putting off, whether it's basement waterproofing, concrete raising, structural repairs, or attic insulation? PermaSeal provides quality work and free inspections. Don't wait. Call PermaSeal 800-421-7325 or permaseal.net.
720 WGN. I'm John Landecker, and it's always a pleasure to welcome Dave Schwann to the program because he knows a lot about this week in history. It's all yours, Dave.
Thanks. We needed a little reverb in there.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Indeed, this week in history, and as always, there's always a lot of history to talk about. So here we are on Memorial Day, and moving forward, starting in 1790, the U.S. copyright law was enacted. And about 80 or 90 years later, it's 1870s or so, since 1870, to be exact, the Copyright Office has registered over 33,654,000 claims to copyright.
Wow.
That's quite a staggering number. And now the library, meaning the Library of Congress, has enhanced the operations of the copyright system, and copyright deposits, as they say, formed the heart of the library's collection there. The Library of Congress is quite the building to see, I might add, too. So let's jump up from the 1790s and the 1800s to 1911, and here's something that's certainly appropriate for Memorial Day weekend, the first running of the Indianapolis 500 in 1911.
And it's still it's still running here at WGN, too.
And you know, John, isn't it great that WGN Radio was one of the first broadcast outlets to carry the race, and here we are doing it.
That's just another great thing about the WGN broadcast history, really.
Totally, totally. And in 1911, it was begun by two businessmen, Carl Fisher and James Allison, also Arthur Newby and Frank Wheeler, put together all their resources to build they still call it the Indianapolis Motor Speedway in 1909 as an automobile testing ground to support Indiana's growing automotive industry. And Indiana was a big part of that back then. The focus on the facility soon turned to racing, with Ray Haroun, or Haroun, winning the first race on May 30th, 1911.
You know what I should have done? I should have done a little more homework and looked up to see what his speed was. You know, how fast he was going on May 30th, 1911. He won at a blistering speed of 50 miles an hour. No, I'm just making that up.
50 miles an hour. That was a breakneck speed back then.
I don't know if that's true, but it would be interesting. I should find out. Oh, well. Next time.
If I could throw in a little personal note on this, too. A college professor of mine, at Ball State University studying broadcasting, a professor of mine, Dr. Darrell Weibel, was tapped to be the backstretch announcer in the late 1970s for the Indianapolis Motor Network.
How neat.
Yeah, he was thrilled. I mean, he had a real love for that. And I can tell you, he spent 3 or 4 years doing it, and he just lived for it. And he was very, very good at it, too. So every time I hear the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, I think of Dr. Weibel, and with a great deal of admiration also.
Hold the presses. This just in. I was totally wrong. 1911, Ray Haroun, as you said, or however we pronounce it, I was way off. He won, this isn't bad for 1911, with a speed of 76.602 miles per hour in 1911. Wow. That's hauling it, so to speak.
It is. Almost on one of these expressways.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Right, he'd feel right at home on the Dan Ryan. Yeah.
Totally. 1924, an announcer by the name of A.W. Kenny from WGN put the first reports on from the Indianapolis Speedway in 1924. That's just amazing to me.
It is, yep.
And in 1922, we have, for Memorial Day weekend, the dedication of the Lincoln Memorial in the National Mall, honoring Abraham Lincoln, Illinois' own, the 16th president of the United States, on the National Mall. And by the way, John, Abraham Lincoln's son, his only surviving son, was present for that inauguration. It is really amazing that that he was able to be there for that, dedicated in 1922.
Wow, yeah. That is.
He died just a couple years later, in 1924 or 25, but he was present for the dedication of the Lincoln Memorial in 1922.
They just had here in Chicago this past week an auction of Abraham Lincoln memorabilia. I won't go through the whole thing, but somebody paid like $1.2 million for a pair of blood-stained gloves that Lincoln had been that Lincoln wore the night he was assassinated. That's a lot. That's a lot of dough for a pair of gloves, don't you think?
Yes, that's right.
Yeah,
and I've heard of things like that happening where they've auctioned off, you know, memorabilia like that, and people will step up and pay that kind of money for it. Amazing. But the Lincoln Memorial is just a marvelous place to visit. His son, Robert Todd Lincoln, the only surviving son of his four children, was there for the dedication a little over 100 years ago now. So also in 1922, the Cubs made a trade in the middle of a doubleheader. I love this. Max Flack, F-L-A-C-K, was traded for the Cardinals' Cliff Heathcote during the middle of the doubleheader, which meant that both players played for both teams on the same day.
That is incredible.
Isn't that something?
Yeah.
I would think there's, you know, very few statistics like that. But that's just amazing when you think about it. For in the middle of a doubleheader, you're told, okay, you're going to play for the opposing team.
Yeah, get in the locker room and change your uniform.
Right. Don't come out wearing the uniform you're wearing now.
Right. History is not over. We'll have more of This Week in History with Dave Schwann when we come back on 720 WGN. 720 WGN with John Landecker. We return now to This Week in History. Dave?
Jumping up to 1957, we have the establishment of the National Academy of Recording Arts and Sciences, which led to the Grammy Awards just a few years later. 1958, speaking of music, on his third tour of England, Jerry Lee Lewis was booed off the stage just after he revealed that he was married to his 14-year-old cousin, Myra Lee Brown.
Yep.
And as you know, that forced quite a scandal there.
For many years, I might add. Yeah.
Yeah. And it forced Lewis to end the tour, flew back to the United States, and, you know, the scandal followed him for a long, long time. I believe, wasn't that part of the movie, Great Balls of Fire?
Sure. And, you know, they stayed together for a while. I don't have the exact length of their marriage, but there's more to the story than just that marriage of the cousin. I mean, he didn't the killer was his nickname. He didn't back down. I mean, people may have criticized him for that, but I think that marriage lasted a while.
Yes. Yeah. It didn't end abruptly.
No.
It did go along for a number of years there. A little closer to home, in 1959, Santa's Village in West Dundee opened. 65 years ago or more now on Memorial Day weekend, 1959, 1961, President Kennedy says, "You're going to the moon." Announced the goal of putting a man on the moon by the end of the decade in the 1960s.
Since early in my term, our efforts in space have been under review. With the advice of the Vice President, who is Chairman of the National Space Council, we have examined where we are strong and where we are not, where we may succeed and where we may not. Now it is time to take longer strides. time for a great new American enterprise. Time for this nation to take a clearly leading role in space achievement, which in many ways may hold the key to our future on Earth.
1967, Evel Knievel taking his motorcycle, jumping over 15 And this is another amazing
story. Yeah.
Over 433 broken bones that... You know, after all of his accidents, he broke 433 bones, and that earns him an entry in the Guinness Book of World Records, surviving the most broken bones in a lifetime.
Hopefully not all at the same time, though. That would be a little, that would really hurt. I think, yeah, that's going to hurt. Yeah.
But I think a couple of times he was laid up for months with, you know, some major injury that he did after he tumbled head over heels, literally, and, you know, during his career. Up in 1977 now, two things. Star Wars, the original Star Wars, is released in 1977 on this date. Also in 77, the Brady Bunch Variety Hour has its final program on ABC.
Oh, just a little programming note there, Dave. Yeah, when this movie came out in 1977, I did this radio skit with Bob Surratt and Carrie Fisher and Mark Hamill, and the plot was that Darth Vader kidnaps Surratt and the Princess Leia, and he has them in a helicopter over to Dan Ryan, and if I don't turn over the controls of the radio station to him, he's going to drop them into the rush hour traffic below him, and they'll die.
There's a strange voice on the phone. The guy says he is a Darth Vader.
Hey, wait a minute. He's the villain from Star Wars. Stay away. He's evil.
Anyway, oh, God, it's terrible.
Relax, Jack. What telephone line is he on?
Pick up line two.
Think it's okay if I talk to him, Mark?
Well, I don't know. He's the most evil force in the universe, but he is definitely afraid of ducks.
Ducks.
John, be careful, okay?
Okay.
Hello? Hello?
This is Darth Vader. Kidnap Bob Surratt and the Princess Leia.
Help, John, help!
Luke, save us!
I have stolen the WGN traffic helicopter. I have Bob and the Princess inside. We are flying over the Dan Ryan. I am not given full control of WLS in 20 minutes. Surratt and the Princess will be dropped into the rush hour traffic below me. They will die.
Great googly moogly, what to do?
Oh, John, listen, I think my experience as Luke Skywalker could really be of some help here.
Well, how's that?
Well, I've got the Millennium Falcon, the starship from the movie. It's parked outside the station. I've got my droid R2-D2. I mean, I'd be willing to give it a shot.
You don't mean...
That's right, John. Rescue!
Rescue is futile.
John, don't do it.
Oh, Luke, be careful.
Gosh, Luke, you know, the starship here, it's bigger than it looked in the movie.
Well, just sit down, strap yourself in, John, while I get R2-D2 to program our flight. Now, R2, set a course for the WGN traffic helicopter over the Dan Ryan, and take off.
I'm going to kill Surratt and the Princess in 30 seconds.
Luke, shoot him down!
Oh, I can't, John. My ray guns are too powerful. They're designed for other galaxies. If I fire, all of Chicago will be destroyed.
Wait, didn't you say that Darth Vader had a deathly fear of ducks?
Yeah.
Well, I think I've got the answer. We have an open radio channel to the copter, right?
Right, John!
Well, I got a copy of the song Disco Duck on my cassette here.
And you want to blast the helicopter with the song?
Right.
Oh, boy. Give the song to R2-D2. He'll program the song into the ship's communication system, and we'll blast the copter with it.
Okay. R2-D2, take it.
Fire!
Disco! Disco!
copter! Come in, copter!
John, can you hear me? Disco duck worked. Darth Vader's body exploded. I've got control. We're all right.
Oh, Luke, oh, John. Thank you.
Radio Star Wars, featuring the voices of John Landecker as himself and Darth Vader, Jack Swanson as himself, Bob Surratt as himself, R2-D2 as himself. Plus our special thanks to Carrie Fisher as the voice of Princess Leia and Mark Hamill as Luke Skywalker. And from all of us to all of you,
may the Force be with you.
Here's one thing, John, you and I will never forget, a very serious, tragic news item that took place at the beginning of the Memorial Day weekend in 1979. It's the American Airlines DC-10 that crashed on takeoff.
Yeah. Air.
Never forget that when that happened. 270 people, over 270 people killed in that tragedy from 1979. I was just starting out in broadcasting, by the way, and, you know, getting the news of that just dominated the whole weekend for the remainder of the month and into the summer. 2004, we have the World War II Memorial dedicated in Washington, D.C., honoring the total of 16 million people who served in the U.S., and also, of course, honoring the 400,000 who died in that. And I finally got to see the World War II Memorial just a couple months ago, and it's a marvelous place to visit there on the National Mall. And our final entry for This Is History for this date, 2011, Oprah Winfrey airs her last show, ending her 5-year run, or rather, 25-year run.
Wow.
2011.
You get a show, you get a show, you get a show, you get a show, you get a show. Yeah.
You get a show, too. Okay. There you have it, John. This is history.
Well, you know what? Once again, I want to say thank you so much for coming on and doing this with me, Dave. I always enjoy it. Thanks again.
Yeah, me too, John. Have a great rest of your show and enjoy the summer. We've got a good summer coming.
All right, Dave. Talk to you later.